So good morning, everyone. This is, we call this Mission Sunday. So this morning we'll be talking about some of our foreign mission projects that we work on here at the church. Our church has been involved in for years. We'll be talking about three of them this morning, and then in the fall, in October, we'll be talking about a fourth one, Luke's Brigade. But, you know, mission, church and mission really, really need to go together. And, you know, if a church doesn't have a mission program of some sort, I really think they're missing, you know, a major part of their purpose for existing. Church needs to be outward focused. I mean, we need to make sure we're caring for one another, but we need to be looking outwardly and making sure that we're, you know, seeking to advance the kingdom of God. And I think it would be fair to say that every church has a different way of doing that, you know, how they go about mission programs. I mean, there are local mission programs, there are national mission programs where you're reaching out throughout the country, and then there's international mission programs where you go out of the country. And really, one of the things I'm excited about our church is over the years we've watched how God has opened doors and helped us develop so that we really do have what I would consider all three of those kind of mission expressions in our church. We have local mission programs here at our church. We call them our free clinics, and it's where we care for our people in our community. And I think a church should be involved in the local community in such a way that we're helping those that are around us. So we have our free clinics where we care for the local people, and then we have national. We've been involved in many national ministries and missions over the years, primarily where we help people around the country when there's a catastrophe, a hurricane or a tornado. We've sent teams all over the country helping out nationally in that kind of program. And then we have our international missions where we do currently with Vietnam, we're sending wheelchairs, and in Haiti we're feeding poor the children there, and in Brazil sending filters. And you know, this is the thing. Jesus, when he taught the disciples how to pray, you know, part of the prayer of what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, he said that we're supposed to pray, God, bring your kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. We're supposed to be praying that. And I think what that means is we're believing and we're doing our part to bring the kingdom of God on this earth. And I think in mission programs, that's what we should be doing, trying to advance the kingdom of God and bringing God's kingdom. And you know, as you walk in our church in the foyer, up on that high wall, we have what we call our mission statement as a church. And it's just four words. We figure we keep it really, really simple for you. But it says, serve God, serve people. And that's just not four words that we came up with just because we like that. It's who we are as a church. We really believe that our mission as a church is to teach everyone how to serve God first and foremost. And what that means is we do our absolute best in obeying what God says in his word. We honor God's word because we believe it is inspired by him. It's his word to us, and so we serve God by obeying his word, but we serve people. And when we talk about serving people, we mean helping people in real, practical ways. And so this is why it's so important to us in our foreign mission programs that we have what we refer to as humanitarian aid. That we're not just going and telling them about Jesus, but we're going and helping people in practical ways where we really are bringing something that they need, and at the same time preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So this morning, we're going to be talking about trips that our church is sending teams on. In 2020, next year, we'll be sending teams of people on three specific foreign mission trips. One of them will be to Vietnam, one will be to Brazil, and one will be to Haiti. And so this morning I thought what we could do is just talk about some of those trips and what's going on there. We'll invite our team leaders up here. But after the service today, there will be a free luncheon up in the second floor of the older building, the community room, a free luncheon. And we are inviting all of you to come if you have any interest at all. If you think, you know, I think I'd like to go on this trip, or you have some questions, because we're not going to be able to deal with, you know, the depth of what's going on. You have some questions, they'll be there. The people who've been on the trips will be there, and love to visit with you and encourage you to give some thought and prayer to going on the mission trip, all right? So this morning, let's get our team leaders up here, people that have been on trips. I want to invite Larry Remp and my brother Henry, who have been part of the Vietnam trip. If you guys would come on up, you guys sit right over here. I want to invite Steve Fitter and Pastor Chip up here. You guys are right over here. And they're part of the Haiti mission trip and the Brazil mission trip. And then I'm going to interview them and just let them share a little bit of what's going on with the trips. But these trips are awesome, and they are so awesome. And I've been on them, and I never felt called to go on mission trips, but I've been on a number of these, and they are absolutely incredible. They are in the category of what I call life-changing, for sure. So I'm going to start with you, Larry, right over here. So this is Larry Remp. He's from the Wheeling, West Virginia Vineyard. Would you say hello to Larry for us here this morning?
Hey, guys.
So, Larry, we Vineyard's been involved in Vietnam. We've been sending wheelchairs there, and we're having them made in Vietnam now at about $50 a chair, which is really incredible. And we've been involved with you guys. You guys have been there a lot longer, but we've been involved since 2010, and we're tracking how many wheelchairs we've sent. So I think we're over 6,000 now, so it's really quite incredible. And we're working with Pastor Vu, and you'll share a little bit more about that. Pastor Vu is the pastor over there, and he's been using these chairs to plant churches. So give us a little history, Larry. Like, first of all, when did you start going, and why did you go to Vietnam?
Well, I've been going, actually this year is going to be celebrating 30th year that Vu and I have been working together.
Wow. Yeah.
And just a real quick story on, Vu and I met by accident. You know, it's a divine accident. We were in a place we weren't supposed to be in, and we met. Long story, but it's been an incredible ride to where Vu and I have been, like I said, working together 30 years. The turning point in the ministry in Vietnam has been the wheelchairs. I look at this church as a key. You know, you need a key to open a door, and this church has been the key to opening the door to the wheelchair ministry, which has opened up the doors into Vietnam, Cambodia, and I've got to talk to you a little bit more about Laos because that door just got opened. I just got back from Vietnam a couple of days ago.
So yeah.
We've got stories.
No
that
jet
you
lag.
Don't know about.
You're doing
yeah,
good.
A little bit of.
You're
no,
good.
We're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
So Larry, I got a picture up here of the. Bring the next picture up here. So these are the inconspicuous religious police that you would never know. Come to these chair distributions. So share with everybody, like, what was going on before the wheelchair started going and what's happened since? What like you said, the key, what's happened?
Yeah. The key. For years, our main goal is to train pastors, plant churches. Well, we struggled with that for a lot of years underground. God was still there, and we were accomplishing God's calling on the ministry. But yet we struggled. It was difficult. Everything was done underground. Well, once we started the wheelchairs, it became the humanitarian side of things, which sometimes when you hear humanitarian, you don't think of it in a spiritual realm. But, you know, there was this great humanitarian named Jesus Christ. When you look at the humanitarian work that Jesus did in healing the sick and raising the dead, feeding the hungry, those are humanitarian works that fell in line with the spiritual principle behind it and a spiritual goal. The same thing has happened with the wheelchairs. The wheelchair is a humanitarian guide that I always say it changes people's lives for today and for eternity, because these chairs, everybody, our churches go in and minister to these people after they've received the chairs. And we're 33% of the people that receive the wheelchairs have come to Christ afterwards.
That's wonderful.
And so again, that key, but what it's done is the police and the government has seen this, and instead of hiding underground, now we meet with the police every time. We've actually grown these great relationships with the police, and we're friends now. They've actually asked Vu to, and they're communists, atheist communists, and they've called Vu and asked him to pray for him for certain family
wonderful.
Members and things of that nature. So the door with the police have been opened, and so we were actually able to really go freely throughout anywhere in Vietnam, in a communist country, and preach the gospel. It's opened up
that's
those
wonderful.
Doors.
Just a quick, that's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, the chairs are a part of that, yeah. And so the religious police are sort of like kind of friendly. I don't know if they still wear the glasses anymore, but, you know. I mean, I remember them sitting in the front row like this, you know. And you're like, wow, man, they didn't want us to tell anything about America or anything and don't even want to mention Jesus, but it's opened up quite a bit now. And just real quickly, what's happened? So other countries, Laos and Cambodia, what's going on there?
Yeah, the wheelchairs, that was what brought us into Cambodia, was the wheelchairs, the need, a call. Just another story of how God has been in such a center of the ministry over there. These things that happen over there can only be done through divine providence of the Lord. But we went into Cambodia to deliver wheelchairs working with the Red Cross. And when we went in, we needed interpreters. So we prayed, We really didn't pray. We just asked the Red Cross for help with interpreters. And we got there, and of course, God sends us two pastors as interpreters.
All
freak
right.
chance. These guys are just like us. I mean, we're of one spirit. These guys are awesome. Well, they've opened up doors now into Cambodia to where there's such a need in there that the wheelchairs are just, they're crying out for the wheelchairs. And
awesome.
And we're able to preach freely there. Actually have altar calls, and you know, we've had altar calls where just everyone wants to accept the Lord. It's just opened these
tremendous.
Incredible doors again.
Yeah.
And,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And just, I when was just in Vietnam, Pastor Vu just got a call from a pastor in Laos asking us to bring wheelchairs into Laos. So our prayer, we have been praying for open doors to Laos, and once again, that key has just opened the doors to Laos. So
awesome,
we're trusting next year we're actually going to be able to go into not just Cambodia, but Laos possibly.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, and these all three countries, I just Googled it this morning, they're like at about 2-8% Christian. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 90% atheist, Buddhist. We're talking a serious need for Christian witness. So yeah. Very nice, Larry. Appreciate that. Henry, real quick, what's the best part and the hardest part of doing these trips?
The best part, I think, is you're changing some people's lives. When you see moms bringing their kids on their back, you'll see older folks that they have to be carried in, and you put them on a wheelchair. The smile that comes across their face to realize they are now mobile was incredible. The one thing we missed a couple years back was their houses, we couldn't get the wheelchairs in, so we brought the manufacturer back in. We asked them to figure out a way to collapse these chairs, and that just fixed the problem. They can now collapse it, get in their homes. They can collapse it to put on their bikes to bring it back. So it's fun working with people that are there that said, what can we do to help? And they came up with this collapsible wheelchair. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
So that stuff, when you see they're changing their lives, it's absolutely amazing. One thing I did notice when we were talking about the police, I think the first couple of years, Mark Pohl and I were doing a chair in front of a bust of Uncle Ho. Ho Chi Minh. I said to Mark, hey, Mark, look, we're building a chair right in front of Uncle Ho. And we got back on the bus, and they stopped the bus, the police that looked like they were dressed like anybody else there, and they wanted to know who insulted their leader. So I pointed at Mark, you know, I said.
But that's why Mark doesn't go anymore,
right.
Now.
I think
he's Mark's man, you know.
I had to get off the bus, got, I don't want to say yelled at, but they talked to me about never doing that again, and we'll kick you out of here if you do it again. I was shocked. Who knew that they were there watching us? So, anyway, that's been gone. The police are very easy to work with now. But when you change some people's lives with something as simple as a chair, you get to pray with them. You get to have some grandkids come in, help us put a chair together for the grandma who can't walk, can't move. It's amazing. I mean, you can't help but a few of these little things come out of the eyes once in a while, you know.
All right. So. How about people sitting here? Who should go on these trips? Just people over 50, people over 10? What? Who's welcome on these trips?
I would say everybody but Mark.
Everybody but Mark, okay, yeah, troublemaker.
Troublemaker.
Didn't Mark also get in trouble for bringing a Pittsburgh
he did.
Steelers banner, and they thought it was American propaganda, so like, yeah.
That was the second time, same trip, and they said, you're done if you do this again.
You don't fool around over there, yeah. So, but anybody can go, I mean, so.
I would say, age-wise, probably someone in their later teens, and we've had a couple of those kids come, had an awesome time with them. Really, it'll be a life-changing experience. Even if you just do it once to see how you can change some people in another country and then share Christ with them. That's awesome. I'll say one thing. When we went to Cambodia, Mike Ruckdashel, I don't know if he's here, it was awesome that he had a chance to speak to them, and the pastors interpreted it. One of the things he asked was, who wants to receive Christ? There must have been, I don't know, 60, 70 people in it. They all raised their hands. And we were a little shocked. We didn't expect that, you know. So we know that they're open, you know, that they want to be talked to. The problem is we don't speak Cambodian. That was the only issue we had, so.
All right. All right. Larry, go ahead. Yeah.
When you just asked that question of who should go, one thing I just kind of wanted to share, I'm really big into what ifs in life. And you have the opportunity, if God's speaking to your heart, you have the issue of what if you go, what if you don't go. And I always look at my own life, and when God called me to go, I had no business going, really. I had 3 small children, 2 of them sick. Really had no business going. But I look now, and I think, what if? Because it was so easy for me to have the excuse of, there's no way I should be going on this trip, but God did call me. And I always think of, what if I didn't go?
Larry, yeah.
In these last 30 years of what I would have missed, and God's incredible journey that he's sent me on. So that's just one thing I wanted to share with you.
I like it. All right. I'm going to jump over here, go to Steve. So Steve is working with a mission program in Haiti. Our church is funding at $180 a year. We feed one child, and we just started working with the Haiti program last year, so we've done about 300 children. And we work with a missionary there, and he's planted several churches and even start a few hospitals. But Steve, tell us a little bit what's going on in Haiti. I mean, what's happening?
You mean politically right now? Or
yeah, well, you know, the country, yeah.
Okay. The country right now is having some problems with civil unrest. The gangs are trying to kick the current president out of office because I thought he might ask this question. I checked the news this morning, and there has been some improvements by what I read this morning. All the posts are from early June. I can't find a current post recently, which I see that as a good thing, because for the last many months, it was every week or every day there was a new post and something bad happening. So the media has slowed down in the area. So I see that as a good thing. The president's still in office. I'm sure they're still having problems. But as far as the Miami Herald and some of the other sites I look at, it is improving.
So, Steve, you work with Thompson Concrete. You guys have been involved for quite a few years. We just jumped on board with you guys. But what's the need there? Why are we doing this?
Wow. The whole country is in really bad shape. But the church involvement is, as you see the pictures, feeding the children. But there's a voodoo being so strong in the country. There's a real need for the Christian people to go down and show them Christianity, which is really the basis of what we're doing, building houses, building churches, getting the word out. And then when you're down there and you see these children, it's awesome to see the changes that have taken place with our feeding program.
Yeah, the poverty is just hard to comprehend, and it is something that these children, pretty much the only meal they're getting in a day, they get one meal.
It is the only meal they're getting, yes.
Yeah. Well, what would a person do if they went on this trip and went to the Haiti? What would be some of the things going on there?
Well, we're a construction company. So for the last 6 years, we go down and we do construction work. We dig dirt, put up forms, pour concrete. But there's so many more needs. They have other groups go down. But my thing is, and the people that we've been going with has been all construction. It would be nice to see some people go with us that get away from that. There's always something going on in the church just below us on the hill there, but to go out into the community and just walk around and spend time with the people and meet the people and show them what Christians are like and teach them Christianity. There's so much more than what we do, but I'm so centered on construction. It would be nice to have people go with us that would step out of what we do and just go spend time with the people and the children.
Yeah, so if you're in construction, they could probably go and help out.
Yeah, you'll fit right in with us if you're in construction.
Want to work with children in the church, they can help with the feeding program. And then Steve and I have been talking about even trying to develop some like cleanup program, just pick up the trash around the place. It's so dirty, but the need is incredible, and seeing those kids get that meal. And what's really nice is you guys have built a nutrition center, so now the children get to eat the meal right there instead of trying to take it home through the streets and not making it, and they're also getting like a Bible lesson. So it's really, really a great program going on there. So, all right, jump over to Chip real quick. And Chip, Pastor Chip, is doing our Brazil mission trip, and that's working with a pastor, vineyard pastor down there, and we're doing clean water filters at $195 a piece. And the missionary is actually making the filters, and then he is taking them by boat on the Amazon River, which is just quite an adventure, and delivering them and using them to plant churches. So it's really quite a great opportunity. But Chip, tell a little bit about the filters. I mean, first of all, how much do they weigh, and why don't we use like lighter ones? What's going on with these filters?
They weigh about 300 pounds.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I'm smart enough not to get in there and lift them. So, yeah, the reason that they're made out of concrete, first of all, like Richie says down there, nobody's going to steal his water filters.
Yeah.
But you've got all kinds of water filters, plastic, little bottle type size and things of that nature with different pieces in them. Well, what happens is they don't last. The plastic wears out. There might be a little piece in there or a little gasket that they could use for a boat engine or something like that. So they just don't use the water filter. These are concrete. They're called biosand filters. You fill them up with rocks and gravel and sand, and they go into the people's homes. They stay there, and they're just constantly dripping water out of them so that the people can drink out of them, use it for cooking, use it for drinking, and whatever they need for clean water. So these also last forever. So there's no pieces anybody can take out of these. You set them up, you're good to go. So that's why they're made out of concrete and they're so...
Yeah, plus they're made by the missionaries or providing some work.
Yeah, so the cost of the water filter, wrapped up in that cost, is the money that Richie pays two or three guys from his church to actually make those filters. So when you're buying a water filter, you're actually paying somebody's wage for the day.
Yep.
And then also he takes five or six guys are on the crew that go and deliver these and distribute these. You're paying for their transportation, and you're also paying for their wages. So there's a lot more involved than just buying a water filter. You're bringing in the gospel, but you're actually helping people have a job. You're paying somebody's salary when you buy one of these water filters.
Chip, what would a person do if they went on one of these trips?
Just about everything.
They get to sleep in a hammock.
They get to sleep in a hammock.
And mosquitoes bite them.
And stop. It's a lot of fun. Woo. I love it, man. I really love it. Yeah, there's a lot of bugs. The food is great. I love the food. You live on a boat for 2 weeks in the Amazon waters in the region. The 2 weeks looks like this. You do a lot of ministry. You share your testimony. You might even get to preach a message. There's churches that Richie's small group leaders have built, and they run throughout the weeks along the rivers that we would go visit and preach at and minister to. And then the second week is strictly water filters. So that's the week that we... You know, last year we did 40 of the water filters that you guys purchased, we were able to install.
So now, who should go on this trip? Probably people who like to climb up and down boats and live a little bit hard environment. So who would you invite to go on a trip, Chip?
It's a little strenuous. it is. There's a lot of climbing on the boat. There's a lot of balancing in small canoes. There's a lot of figuring out where you should and should not step on the docks.
Yeah.
But anybody can go. If you're in good shape, go. Anybody in their late teens to whatever age should go. I think I absolutely love it. And so that I've gone three times. I've gone three times to Brazil, but I had absolutely no interest in being involved in foreign missions. And my wife said, you know, you're going to do this mission trip. And I said, I'm absolutely not. And then the next day, I just kept having these thoughts and everything. And so here I am. I'm sold out for the Brazil, the water filters, the people down there, the church in Portel that we support down there. So if you're interested and you're even thinking about it, then maybe the Lord is speaking to you about going.
Yeah, yeah. So three different mission trips. They all are special and have different, you know, ways that you can get involved. Really trips of a lifetime, no doubt about it, and definitely will make a major impact on your life, as well as you get to see. So like, we fund these three missions through our Easter offering, and we've been doing this, you know, many, many years, and have done other mission trips as well, but these we've been funding for years. And so, you know, I think, so we're in our, I forget what year it is on our Easter offering, but I know we're at about $1.4 million that we have collected on Easter, that everybody gives large offering. And so when you go on these trips, you get to see hands-on, oh, this is where these wheelchairs are going, or, oh, wow, these are the kids that we're feeding, or, yeah, these people are literally drinking the water out of the Amazon. It's just shocking, and it'll change it. It'll really give you a what I would refer to as a biblical perspective of foreign missions, and you get to see the practical side and the spiritual side. So, guys, thank you so much. And again, the lunch is after the service. You're all invited to come up if you have questions. If you've ever been on one of these trips, Brazil, Vietnam, or Haiti, would you just stand for a minute? So anybody who's ever been on any of these trips in the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years, yeah. So, yeah. So these people will be upstairs also. And then again, if you have questions or you want to find out more, or even a little bit interested, come on up and hang out. I think you'll be blessed for sure. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. So I just want to, if you would, turn to a passage in the Gospel of Luke real quick. I've got a few minutes here, and I, you know, just something on my heart when I think about missions and I think about the missions we're involved in. There's a passage, and it's in the Gospel of Luke, and I just want to read it to you and just talk for a few minutes about this. But this is actually, this passage we're about to read is actually Jesus' very first public sermon. So he's actually preaching his first sermon, and this is recorded. And so he's reading, they hand him the scriptures, and he reads out of the prophet Isaiah, and it's chapter 4, and it's verse 18 in the Gospel of Luke. And it says here, this is what Jesus read. He said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He starts out, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And so now here's Jesus in his very first sermon. And if you've ever thought about this, I'm sure you've thought about this, but the first time you ever do anything, first of all, you may be nervous about it, or it becomes a memorable event. Like think about first times in your life. First time you ever drove a car. Anybody remember that? You know, first time you ever watched a scary movie. I remember watching the first scary movie when I was young, and the title of the movie was The Crawling Eye. I was so scared for the next 3 nights. I made my mom sit next to my bed with the light on and not leave until I fell asleep, because I knew that thing was going to eat me, you know. And my mom said, you're done with scary movies. I never watched one again, you know. How about, like, remember your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend or your first kiss or your first job, your first real job? I mean, you know, first times are memorable. The first time you do something, it becomes memorable. Well, in the Bible, clearly first times are very important. Actually, the Bible refers to it as first fruits. And when it comes to giving, the tithe is called the first fruits. And the reason it's important is because it sets a pattern. First times set a pattern. They're significant. You establish what you're about to do when you do something the first time. You say, this is how it's going to unfold. And so when Jesus, in his sermon, his first sermon, when he preaches about the poor, this is significant. The poor are important to Jesus. He really, really cares about the poor. And if you would just read through the Gospel of Luke and just circle every time he makes mention of the poor, you'll find that he has at least 10 different references recorded where he makes specific reference to caring for the poor. Like in his famous Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." When John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent two of his disciples to him, and he was kind of questioning whether Jesus really was the Messiah, they came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "You go back and tell John the Baptist what you've seen." And in the sign that he wanted them to tell John the Baptist, he said, "You tell John the Baptist that I'm taking care of the poor." That was one of the signs that he was the Messiah. When you read about Jesus talking about having a feast, he says, when you have a feast, he said, yeah, just don't invite all your friends. Make sure you're inviting the poor. A couple of stories that Jesus told. One time, he's told a story about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. And when they die, in the story, he shows special favor to the poor person. God shows special favor in the story that Jesus told. I mean, you find it all the way through the gospel, special attention and care for the poor. In the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus goes to Jericho. And he's in Jericho, he looks up in a tree, he sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is considered a sinner man, a real bad person you don't hang out with. Jesus said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, let's go have lunch today." Zacchaeus is so shocked, he has Jesus over his house, all of his friends, he's having a big party. And at the end of the party, it says Zacchaeus stands up, he has some spiritual encounter. Something happened to him, and he stands up, he says, "Today, I'm changing my life, and I'm going to give half of my money to the poor." Something happened in that conversation with Jesus that day that impacted him enough so much that he changed his life. But again, that special attention to the poor. I mean, it's all the way through the Gospels. Jesus cared about the poor. He cared about it. And here he says, first sermon he ever preached, which, by the way, is a classic story about setting patterns, because you read the rest of this chapter, it says he closed the book after he read this passage, and it said all the eyes were on him. And then he said, "This day, this scripture is going to be fulfilled in your eyes." And then he goes on and it says they marveled at his sermon. And then he starts telling them how he's going to reach all the people and how the Jews were going to reject him. And he starts a riot and they try to kill him. Now that is a first sermon. That's a first sermon. But he's trying to tell the people, I'm part of my job. What I'm going to do is I'm going to care for the poor. And he says here, it's preaching the gospel to the poor, so the gospel is good news. So what's good news to poor people? What's good news to poor people? Well, there's a number of things that would be considered good news. Poor people are marginalized. You know, they're not listened to. And what he was saying is, you're not going to be marginalized. I'm going to pay attention to you. You're going to have a voice. When he said gospel, he meant good news. And he said, you are going to be important to me. And he walked it out. He walked it out. He said, I will care for you. I'll help you. That's what he meant when he said good news. We'll do our best to help alleviate some of your burden of the poverty that you're carrying. So the question is, what do we do? Do we preach the gospel to the poor? And what would that mean? Well, it means poor people are important to us. We don't marginalize them. We don't say, well, they're all poor because they're lazy. We don't brush them off. It means that we'll listen to them. And just like Jesus, we'll take it to heart, how can we help them? And so this idea of practical care for the poor with the spiritual preaching of the gospel goes hand in hand. Jesus started his ministry that way. It was important to him. And it should be important to us. And when we preach the gospel, we want to help in a real, practical, caring way. It truly opens doors. It's the heart of God. And so if there's, it's obvious. One of the great reasons why you should consider doing one of these mission trips is because these places have poverty that you cannot conceive of. You know, we live in America, and you hear statistics about poor in America. I mean, I hear them all the time. And I care about the poor in America. I truly do. I care about the poor in our community. But when you go on one of these mission trips and you see the poverty there, it gives you a completely different perspective on poverty. So when you come back to the United States, you think of poverty differently. You'll never think of yourself as poor again. I can assure you of that. And the way you use your money, it will change. It will affect how you give and share. It's just an understanding how you start realizing how rich we are. And because of that, how we are obligated to God to use our wealth in a way that honors Him. You know, the poorest in America, somebody making $7,000 a year as a career person, that's pretty poor, $7,000 a year, with all the benefits our government gives them, puts even the poorest in America richer than 70% of the entire world population. We're in the top 30%. We are wealthy people. And so I would just say this. When we care for the poor, you are close to the heart of Jesus. He started his ministry clearly by saying, I am going to go about helping poor people. That's going to be a part of my mission. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to speak respectfully to them. I'm going to listen to their cries. And I'm going to teach them about the kingdom of God. I'm going to bring, this is the kingdom of God. And so I just want to say I'm so blessed. Our church is involved in these programs. These are awesome programs. And I just encourage you to continue to pray as our church goes forward doing these kind of programs. Amen? Let's stand up. We'll pray. God, I thank you for allowing us as a church to just follow the wind of your Holy Spirit, as over the years we've done so many different programs, but now the programs we're involved in, God, I thank you for them. I thank you that we get to do local missions, and we get to do national missions, and we get to do international. And Father, this morning we're praying for our international missions. I pray you continue to help us as a church to provide in a significant way so that the work that is being done in these countries will continue to grow, God, that your kingdom will come, that your will be done on this earth just like it's done in heaven. I pray for the people who go, God. I pray for people here this morning who may be thinking about going, God, that you would just nudge them a little more and answer the questions and help them get over the financial piece, God. Just walk them through this that they could be a part of something you want to do in their lives. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say, I'm on a mission, man. I'm on a mission. And I'm hoping you're on it with me. You know, Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray that, you're saying, I'm agreeing with you, Jesus. I'm on a mission with you. We want to advance the kingdom of God wherever we can. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's do this. I just want to pray. I want to pray that the spirit of the passion of being mission-minded, it shows in lots of different ways. It shows how you handle yourself at school, how you handle yourself at work, how you handle yourself with your relatives, but it's mission-minded. Am I advancing the kingdom? What part am I playing? And it could be international missions, but it could be a lot of places. So I just want to pray right now. Father, I pray for a passion for mission-minded people in the church here. God, that just right now, God, begin to put in the hearts and minds of people here today, people at work, friends, neighbors, pictures of them right now. Their name just pops in your mind. You see their face. God, how can I help her? How can I help him? How can I advance your kingdom? We want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just open yourself up. Let the Spirit of God bring people to your mind right now and begin to just show you how can you help them. There's several in your lives right now. Mission-minded people, God. Passion. On a mission. We're on a mission, God. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.